You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's message is Pastor Ralph.
As you see in your bulletin, we're in a study or a new study in the book of Hebrews. I love this book and have been threatening in myself to study through it for a while. I really wanted to do a sit-down type Bible study. I thought that something was going to open up, and thus far it has not. So here we are today and this morning, and God has given me the okay. And so we're going to look at some verses, a few verses in this great book. There's always been an issue in regard to the book's author, and there are some that believe Paul has written it, and there are some that believe Paul has not written it. And in fact, the Bible I'm using here says the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. But there's a lot of, through the book, a lot of times you'll see in a book and it'll say who wrote it, but in this book it really does not. What we know is that there are a few verses such as Peter or 2 Peter 3 and 15 that intimate that he written another book or this book. And also in this book, Hebrews 13 and 28, and it speaks about Timothy coming to him in regard to when he comes, he's going to come visit. So there are some hints that he did write it. Now, whether or not he did or not, as you read through it and study through it, you can get a sense that it is written in the type of a Pauline epistle. So if he did not write it, he has influence over whoever did write it. And we'll just simply say God used him or used someone to influence the writing of this book. Many consider this book to be a Jewish epistle, but it's writing to save Jews. So it's applicable to us as well. And is writing in regard to them trying to fall back to the old or even trying to say that something is better than Christ, when in reality we know that nothing is better than Christ. We're going to begin in chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. And through this book, we're going to see the theme that whatever it is, I don't care what it is, that Christ is better. In chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. And he begins writing here, speaking about how God now speaks through his son. And that son, of course, is Jesus. And during that time, many were still believing on Christ, but they were still holding Moses and even angels at a higher esteem than Christ. And throughout this whole book, he's going to point and show us that that's not so. He begins in verse 1 of chapter 1. If you're with me, say amen. He says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And we know that God would prophesy, he would speak to the prophets, they would talk about in the old covenant about things that were to come, and Christ was one of those that would come. And he mentions here, he says at sundry times, and he's speaking about how he spoke through at various times. And listen, he would speak through dreams, he would speak through signs and wonders, he would speak through parables, and that's how he would communicate with his people. And verse 2 says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son, whom he is appointed, it says, heir of all things. And listen, what we know is that when Christ finished his work here on earth, that God brought him home to heaven and put everything under him. So even right now, he is the heir. He's the owner of all things. And we see here as the verse goes on, it says, by whom also he made the worlds. And guys, we know that he's talking about Jesus. He's the Messiah that did come. And indeed, the Gospel of John chapter 1 helps us with that. And John, it says in the beginning of the Gospel of John, this is an overview of it. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And he, speaking about Jesus Christ, was with him in the beginning. And even as you look at those verses in John, you don't have to turn there right now, but when you get a moment, even the word is a capital on that W. So it's speaking about none other than the living Word, who's Jesus Christ. And in 1 and 3 it says, through him all things are made, and without him is not anything made that has been made. And what we know, as John was talking about there, is that, look, Christ is the creative arm of the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and through him all things are made. And we see here in verse 2 that he has put everything in the last days spoken to us by his Son. And what we know is that the last days started when Christ came on the earth, and they will not end until Christ comes back and closes up human history when he comes back for judgment. Verse 2 again, have in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. And in verse 3, we read, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. And listen, what the Hebrew writer here is trying to help us understand, that he not only had attributes of God, but that he himself was God. He was God the Son. And we're going to see that even more when God's going to express that same vein of thought to us. And listen, he represented him here on earth, and indeed he is God. Verse 3 says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. And by the way, in John chapter 11, there was a man by one of his disciples named Philip. And he had been ministering to them for quite some time. And so Philip said to Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus said to him, he said, Philip, have I not been with you so long that you have not known me? And when he let him know, and he said, look, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. What's true of him is true of me. His attributes are my attributes. You can't have one without the other. And if you have seen Christ, and we've not seen him in person, but surely by his Holy Spirit has touched our hearts to let us know, and even the recipients of this letter to know, that I don't care about angels, I don't care about Moses, I don't care about Abraham, but Christ is the one, and he's better than all. Verse 3 says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, it says, and all holding all things by the word of his power. And listen, that brings up another point, that all things are being sustained because of Jesus Christ. Guys, when he came to earth and put on flesh and went through what he went through and died on Calvary's cross and was buried, and the third day he rose up, and God brought him back home after 40 days to heaven. And right now all things are consisting or are still working the way they should. The nights come when the nights are supposed to. The days come when the days are supposed to. The weather's changed and everything goes. And look, even though sin has thwarted that a bit and made it a wee bit off kilter, Christ is still in control, and they go according as he allows them to go. And it won't stop until he says it's time to stop. But he's still holding on to all things. And by the way, if you belong to him, he's holding on to you as well. And whatever you're going through in life, he's got you. He knows all about it. And in fact, he is intimately involved in your life, and even knows the pain or the hurt or whatever you're going through. He knows that as well. He says again in verse 3, who, and he's talking about Christ, being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things. And we used to sing a song, and I guess it might be in that hymn book, he's got the whole world in his hand. Guys, he literally has the whole world in his hand. It says, and upholding all things by the word of his power. It says, when he by himself purged our sin and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And by the way, that's where he resides even right now. And he not only created all things, he's in control of all things. And guys, there's going to come a time when what we see here on this earth is going to have to dissipate and going to have to burn up. He's in control of that as well. Please be prayerful with me as I preach around our subject or our series, which is entitled, Christ Alone is Worthy. And Father, as we dive deeper into this great epistle, this great letter, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll touch and bless each and every heart that's here, each and every soul that's here. And Father God, even our concerns, Lord, we have a bunch of folk and a bunch of issues on our prayer list, and we know that you oversee them as well. We ask, Father God, for those that couldn't make it, and because they're sick or infirm, that they're going through something, that even right now you'll bless them and minister to them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father God, for me, your teacher, your preacher of the hour, that you'll hide me behind the cross of Christ. And Father God, allow these words that you have had me to study over these last few weeks to be words that will be a blessing for this congregation. And Lord, as they leave my mouth, Lord, let me be first partaker. Plant them in my heart where they would do the most good. And also this congregation, bless them with some uncanny wisdom that comes only from your word, so that we can know. And Lord, when we come across someone, that we can show. And Father God, surely by faith, believe on what you're telling us in your word. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We say yes to your will and to your way. As we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake, let God's church say amen and amen. As we move into verse 4 of this great book, he begins to speak to us in regard to Christ being more superior than any angel. He says in verse 4, if you're with me, say amen. He says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath, and he is Christ, as he hath had by inheritance, and by the way, he inherited from his father who was God. He says he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And listen, what we know is that the whole theme of this book is that Christ is better, and he's better than all things. In John, and I want you to turn there, but John 1 and 14, we read this. And he was, and the word was made flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And listen, to verse 4, it said that being made, and sometimes folk get in their mind that he was created or that he had his start when he was born of Mary, but that was not so. He always was, but he put on flesh. The word, the living word, the true word of this Bible, put on flesh and dwell among us for the purpose of paying for our sin. God needed a permanent fix for the sin issue. And all along, they had been using animal sacrifices in the old covenant. And all they were doing was covering sin. And listen, almost putting sin in a place where it would not bother them. It was on the layaway. But Christ had to come. The sin, to fix sin once and for all, it had to be a human sacrifice. It had to have been a perfect person. It had to have been one without sin. And we know he did not have a sin nature. Along comes Christ, who put on flesh, came to the Virgin Mary, and was born, and lived, and then died so that we could be free. He did that. And he willingly did that. So indeed that we could be free. We read again in verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. In verse 5, he asks a question. He says, for unto which of the angels said at he at any time, and that he would be God, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And again, the verse says, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And guys, right here, he's quoting from Psalm 2 and 7, and he's also quoting from 2 Samuel 7 and 14, and is speaking about Jesus Christ, how God has made him his son, because indeed he is his son, and he had never made that proclamation to no angel, God's angels, fallen angels, and surely had not made that proclamation to man. We see in verse 6, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten, still speaking about Christ, into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And again, pointing toward Christ as being superior over all angels. We know that when Christ was born, and look, he introduced him to the shepherds, and they went and they worshiped him, and angels gathered around in the heavenlies, and they were praising God. And we know also that, look, his word says that there's going to come a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And look, it will be all the angels. Of course, they already know that. But even the fallen angels, and Satan will be one of them as well, that he must bow a knee to Jesus. And all these folk out here right now that keep saying he can't be who you say he is, he can't be what the Bible says he is, they're going to bow as well. And all those folk dancing and prancing in hell because of their sin, they will recognize and acknowledge that Jesus Christ, hallelujah, that's who he is, and they won't be able to do nothing about it because it will be too late. Indeed, the angels will praise him. And listen, they're ministering spirits, and they do what he tells them to do. He does not hold is beholding to them in their cause. As they work for him. He says in verse 6, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten of the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, and of the angels, he saith, and listen, he's going back and forth, almost like a comparison of angels and Christ, but in reality, there's no comparison. He says, and of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? And he's quoting from Psalm 104. And listen, he's simply saying, by the way, we'll see about seven chapters or seven verses about angels and how much they're beneath Christ. He says here in verse 8, and unto the Son he saith, thy throne, and look what it says, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And guys, I read this, and then I had to read it again, because this is God speaking, and he's saying, thy throne, O God, God's calling Christ God. And listen, we don't really need no more ammunition than that he is who Scripture says he is, and that he is who indeed he says he is. He says in verse 8, and unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever. He says, a scepter, he says, of righteousness, is the scepter of thy kingdom. And I went and looked up this word scepter, and it's just what you use. Sometimes you'll see princes or kings carrying the scepter. And in reality, it's a ceremonial staff, but it points to one who is sovereign. And listen, you have a king that's carrying a scepter, and he's sovereign over that nation. But Christ, who has one and carries one, is sovereign over everything. There's nothing, hallelujah, save the Father that's over him. And again, showing us the authority of Jesus Christ and how he is above all things, especially in this section, he's over the area of angels. In verse 9, we read, thou hast loved righteousness. And again, speaking about Christ. And hated iniquity. And I love the verbiage here. He says has. And that's past tense. And he's saying that he has always loved righteousness. Because righteousness is him. And it says, and he has always hated iniquity, which is sin. And he always have hated. Has always been diametrically opposed to it. It says, therefore, God, even thy God, have anointed thee with the oil, it says, of gladness above thy fellows. So in other words, this oil of gladness, he has anointed, God has anointed him with it above everyone that has ever been on this earth. And listen, this oil of gladness, it actually, as you study it out, is actually speaking about the joy of the Lord. And look, what we know is that Nehemiah says in 8 and 10 that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And guys, he had the joy. It started with him, and he is actually giving it to us as well. And it doesn't matter your circumstance or what you're going through, that we can still be joyful. And look, you might hurt in your body, you might hurt in your spirit, you might hurt in your mind, but ultimately, because you know him and by faith you trust him, that somehow everything's going to work out. And Lord, today I can't see it. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I believe that you're going to do it. And by the way, this oil of gladness or this joy of the Lord, as it can be interpreted, Christ had it even while he was on the cross. And listen, they had beaten him and battered him, and he's hanging on this cross, and he said to the Father, it is finished. And even then, going through all that, he still had the joy of the Lord. It was still a comfort to his heart, because he knew that once he finished this thing, that once he was buried and raised again, that all folk who believed on him was going to be free once and for all. And that was a joy for him, because he didn't want to see us tormented. He didn't want to see us going to hell. And indeed, he wanted us to have a true relationship with the Father, not through the law that man has to keep, but through the Spirit that God has made right because of the finished works of his Son, Jesus Christ. Guys, if you would, mark that page and go with me to the book of Hebrews. We're in Hebrews, but go forward to Hebrews chapter 12. It should be page 1048. Hebrews chapter 12. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to begin our reading at verse 1. There's something I wanted us to see. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'll begin my reading at verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you still turning. If you're there, please say amen. And here the Hebrew writer is speaking to us, because we're believers as well. And he's talking about our faith and how we got to hold on to Christ by faith, regardless if we don't understand it or not. He begins in verse 1. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," he said, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And listen, he's saying that God has set a race before you, that you're going through something that God has said is ordained for you. You're going through something that God has said is ordained for you. And listen, by faith, we got to believe that he not only brought us here, but he's going to bring us through here. And listen, well, he talks about this cloud of witnesses, and we've seen this book before in chapter 11. It's called the Hall of Fame of Faith. And listen, it shows and speaks of all the Old Testament saints that got over or got through or made it out okay only because they believed in God, and by faith they were doing what he called them to do. And look, they did not even have his Spirit, but we have his Spirit. And the writer is wanting us to understand that we can pass about by their witnesses. Listen, they've gone on to be in heaven, and there are witnesses. And he's saying that because of them, and they were faithful to what God called them to do, that whatever weight, whatever sin that we have in our lives, we have the power because of God's Spirit to lay it aside and stop fooling around with it and take this race that he has given us and walk on with him. He says in verse 2, "looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." And by the way, guys, that's the only way you're going to make it, because we all go through different various things. And I got to tell you, sometimes when you're down and you're looking up, that mountain looks awful big, and it looks like I can never get over it. But he's saying that we're looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. Guys, it started with him, it will go on in him, and it will end in him, and then it will never, ever end. He's the author, he wrote the book, and he's the finisher. He even wrote how this book is going to end, and he wrote it in his book as well. So we hold on to him. He said, "the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy," look at that word, "that was set before him," the verse says, "endured the cross, despising the shame. It is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And again, that oil of gladness is pointing toward the joy of the Lord. And look, though it was not joyful or easy for him to do what he did for those 3 years here on earth, though he was ridiculed and beaten and literally killed in the worst possible way possible, he still had the joy, because he saw the joy that was going to happen when he was successful and he was buried and raised up. And hallelujah, my people are now free. And for him, that was joy to go through that. And I dare say he would do it again. But guess what? One time with Jesus Christ is enough. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, the verse says, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. And the verse 3 says, for consider him that endured, look what the verse says, such contradiction of sinners against himself. And the verse says, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. And what he is saying is that Christ knew that, listen, from the earthly, from the world, it makes no sense. Why would somebody want to die for one like me? I know me. You know you. You know what you've done in life. And you know it surely was not all godly. And it makes no sense. It sounds like a contradiction, but God asked for a volunteer, and Christ volunteered. In fact, he was the only one who could do it. And though it sounds like a contradiction, he did it anyhow. So that you can be free and I can be free. And because of that, man, every time I might think to do wrong, every time I might think to get out from underneath his umbrella, any time I might think I'm going to go back and do my own thing, I remember what he did for me. And there's no way that I can go against the finished works of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Guys, when we get tired, and we do, we need to remember what Christ went through. So, and listen, we wouldn't have a leg to stand on unless he went through that. And he willingly did it. And I make it personal. He did that for me. Because, man, I was dead in sin and trespasses. And by the way, you were as well. And love, the love of God through Jesus Christ lifted me up out of the muck and mire. And he made me his child. And he blessed me to know him in a way, in a personal and intimate way. And he saved my soul. And he paid for my sins. And he gave me his spirit. And guys, now I even know what sin is. I know what right is. And I know what wrong is. And he's given me his spirit so I don't have to go down the sin road anymore. And if I do, I do it because I choose to. I don't have to. I can lay aside that mess. And I don't have to pick it up no more. And if you do, you're guilty if you are his child. Because we don't have to walk in that muck and mire anymore. Amen. Flip back to the first chapter of Hebrews. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, we reread, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even it says thy God, have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. In fact, above everybody. In fact, Christ would have needed more than anybody else as he hung on that cross and was reminded as to why he was doing what he did. It wasn't for himself. It was for you. In verse 10 we read, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens, he says, are the works of thy hands. And listen, we already said it in John chapter 1, verse 3, that through him all things were made.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp, L-A-M-P, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.